Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Alamo Draft House to watch the movie. Did you go to the IMAX in New York?
You know what I did? I went to the IMAX. I thought I told you. I went to the IMAX.
Oh, right, you told me but didn't invite me. Right, I remember.
Right. Well, there's you know, like there's like 19 theaters around the country that's supposed to be like the optimal viewing experience for Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
So I went to one of them.
That by in yourself? Lincoln Center. Yourself?
I went with my cousin Joe.
Nice.
And I went during the day. It was like 2 o'clock on a Monday. And I went to it's like an IMAX. Again, it was like this whole thing. It's like Christopher Nolan was like, it's the ideal viewing experience. Going to change your life. I definitely could have gone to any theater to see it.
All right.
But I've like conceded that the problem is me with that. I just probably don't appreciate like cinema enough for that. You know,
I don't know, man. Like, what percentage of people do, right? Like, you're making these movies for people, not for like cinephiles. The 1% of cinephiles out there.
Yeah, but I guess you leave the Easter eggs for those people, you know, with like different shots and shit. It looked great. Don't get me wrong.
Like, were you hoping like
it was a visually striking movie?
Were you hoping the cloud would be like
amazing? I wanted to notice something. Yeah, I wanted to like notice something. I wanted to be like, wow, I've never seen that in a movie. But instead I was like, well, I mean, all movie theaters are pretty crystal clear. Like, I don't know.
What's the movie you saw before that? It was very in IMAX. What's the last movie you saw in IMAX before that?
So that's the funny part. I didn't realize this at the time, but I don't know that I've ever been to an IMAX movie prior to Monday, rather.
Really? It seems like something you wouldn't forget.
That's what I'm saying. And if anybody ever asked me if I had, I'd be like, yeah, of course. But then I couldn't remember any time I've done it before that.
Yeah. All right. I saw Batman.
So, but it was...
The Bane. Well,
my
Bane
only
Batman.
Thought was I could have seen... I think that was the only one that actually came to mind was Dark Knight Rises. But I still don't think so. But I remember... I actually remember when I saw Dark Knight Rises, my brother and I... We're driving home. We just drove home from Toronto, and the movie had just come out that same day. And we drove back from Toronto, and later that night we had a flight to Minnesota, and we had like 5 hours to get our lives together and pack for Minnesota for our friend's wedding. And we took 2.5 of those hours to leave and see Dark Knight Rises instead.
Sounds par for the course.
because social media was really just learning how to spoil stuff. And we were like, we're going away to a wedding where someone's definitely seen this movie. And it's like, we love that movie. Love that franchise. And we sacrificed proper packing to see the Dark Knight Rises instead. But... keeping with the theme of Christopher Nolan, actually, Cillian Murphy, right? Cillian Murphy?
Yeah, I think so.
His name? There's a bunch of Dark Knight people, little Easter eggs in Oppenheimer, too, by the way.
He uses everybody in all these movies, right? Like over
yeah, he's
over.
Like Adam Sandler. Yeah, it's great. I love that.
Yeah.
I love when people do that. So
Gary Oldman? Gary Oldman's got to be in it, right?
Yeah, I mean, so Gary Oldman was in there. He was Truman.
Nice. Was he good?
Yeah, spoiler alert. He was great. Yeah, I mean, he's barely in it, but he's Well, you know what? It's cool. It's not a spoiler, but if you, here's the thing. I was about to let myself sound smarter than I am. I didn't notice it was him until my cousin told me after the movie.
Oh, nice.
So if I did, I would have been excited and be like, oh, shit, he did the thing. But I didn't put it together right away. Because you know how he just changes his whole face? Like when he was Churchill?
Sure.
Yeah, have you seen The Darkest Hour?
No.
I was just going to let you go with it. It's Gary Oldman, and he's Winston Churchill in like his first year in office during World War II, and it's so good, and he's like amazing in it, and you would never know it's Gary Oldman, and it's basically the same thing, like it's just Harry Truman, like he's so good at that. But
was Bern Gorman in this? I gotta go to the IMDb. Actually, you wouldn't know who Bern Gorman is, I don't think.
Let me look, but I think I'm gonna guess yes. Bern Gorman.
He was the guy in The Dark Knight Rises. He was one of the banker bad guys.
Oh, I'm sure he was.
And then he was in Game of Thrones.
He looks very. He's like such a World War II face.
And he was in Turn, Washington Spies.
Oh, but he's not.
That's weird.
Yeah, he wasn't in it. That's so, weird. Yeah, but he looks. He's got the face though of someone that would be an Oppenheimer. So, I don't know, it was very, very good. It was the kind of movie that like I would allow it to go. It was 3 hours long, and there wasn't a moment where I was like, this has to wrap up soon. But it also didn't have like a peak, you know? It was just like a very steady, nice, you know, it was like the kind of like a good day buzz, you know, yeah. Where like I'm not like fucked up, but I'm just kind of enjoying the ride here. And it, like, if it were a Netflix show, I would like it more. Like, I would like it if it were 12 hours long of the same shit. But as a movie, I don't know, it was really good. But it gave me a lot of different history ideas and Christy ideas, because a lot of it is about the obvious, you know, like the kind of the choice of what they're doing and how some people don't know what they're doing. So a lot of things remind me of what I always said the future might be like. And a lot of things, it's weird, you know, like, kind of the way you could be villainized for doing just like exactly what you're told, and your words could, you know, your own action be used against you, is kind of like the theme of the movie, in my opinion. Is how, like, especially the government in that era, McCarthy and all that, can basically just do whatever the hell they want if they decide that you're a bad guy, you know?
Right.
So I found a couple different articles just about, and I don't have to get too into them because the theme is kind of obvious, but basically, and this isn't like a spoiler, if you don't know, he ends up learning how to make the bomb. Right?
I think everybody knows that.
I got
a hunch.
So the movie, that's what I mean. There's no
like
reveal.
The tagline of the movie.
There's kind of a reveal in the movie at some point, but it's not like it's they do it. They, you know, they do a very like crisscross kind of ending at some point. That's the only thing I would say. Like, it doesn't miss, but it's like, all right, but we all kind of knew that. It's not because of history, just because of like the way the movie is shaping up. But I guess they got to do what they got to do plot wise. But it's not really about anything outside of like his life and his struggle and his like internal struggle with creating something of that magnitude, I guess, you know?
Okay.
And I think if you're into physics and shit, that's got to be the coolest movie ever. Like, my cousin was like, it's got to be like watching Space Jam if you're into like nuclear science and physics. And like, because it's all these, you know, Hans Bethe and Albert Einstein and obviously Oppenheimer and all these brilliant, you know, like the people with buildings named after them. And
Einstein from
like that.
Mount Rushmore, too.
Yeah, he's on our Mount Rushmore.
Did it make you feel also, they had better a Chris about three- that?
Yeah, and they had a Chris 3 reference in there. They didn't mention Chris 3 by name, believe it or not, but they kind of suggested that we're going to be a podcast one day. Kidding. But they did reference Chris 3. So at one point, they ask Oppenheimer why he's never gotten a Nobel Prize. And he said, I don't know, maybe this will be the project that does it. And he said, I don't think building a bomb will get you a Nobel Prize. And he said, Alfred Nobel invented dynamite. Then he looked in the camera and said, Christery, where all podcasts are available. But I was like, oh, shit, we did an episode about that. And I felt smart for a quick minute. But to me, that's how it went. He turns to the camera and says, Christery. But so it was a cool little moment there. But it's kind of about that stuff, just kind of how that was my bigger takeaway of, like, when he makes it, I don't want to spoil it if this is like, because it was cool for me to witness for the first time, but basically he just, once he makes it, they're like done with him. You know what I mean? Like they don't even, I was expecting there to be a scene in the movie where he's observing the bomb getting dropped on Hiroshima. He has nothing to do with that decision. So I think he thought he'd be more consulted on how it works. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and you know, the decision-making, he thought, I think, would be a little bit less of a hair trigger. And it would be something that you like, oh, should we do this? And more of a moral dilemma. But when the army got it, they were like, we're dropping it. And they were like excited. Like, that's kind of how they come off in the movie. It's like excited to drop a bomb.
Gotcha.
That can kind of ruin everything. And I don't know. I thought it was interesting because there's a few different scenes. One specifically where a really good friend of his, I'm looking for his name right now. Sorry.
Jeff.
Yeah, that was it. Jeff. That's all it was. No, sorry. I have it written down in front of me too. But basically he, a good friend of his that's like a genius kind of, well, obviously, he wanted to appoint him as the head of, well, like to recruit him for that type of project, you probably have to be, have a genius. Yeah. So basically he wanted to recruit him to be like the head of a really important division. And he just, he kind of freaks out in the movie where he's like, I'm not going to, and I'll give you the name in a second. I just can't like multitask at all. And there's so many names in front of me that it's just, I'm going to get it wrong. But he basically says in there that there's been so many scientific breakthroughs leading up to almost to the minute in a really odd way of the making of the atomic bomb. And the person that he was trying to recruit for basically was like, I'm not going to let all of our, all of the work that we've done and accomplished just go towards a weapon of mass destruction. I think it's the first time that term was ever used. And he kind of like freaks out about it. He's like, I'm not doing that. And he helps out here and there because he wants them to do it responsibly. Because if you do it wrong, they kind of suggest that you could destroy the entire world with one bomb if it were done incorrectly at some point. So I don't know. I thought it was a cool dilemma because also I've always known about the Manhattan Project and like what it was. I didn't know they like built a whole city for it. I thought it was like they found a small city that they could take over. I didn't know they literally built, like Los Alamos was built for the making of the atomic bomb.
Well, I think they kicked out some people who were living there.
Yeah, but they also, they like constructed the city itself, like with stores and restaurants, and because they needed to recruit families, and they said like good scientists weren't going to leave their families for 3 years because they also weren't allowed to have phones and really any outside communication because of how the security clearance of the project. So Oppenheimer's suggestion was, you're really not going to do that if you don't build a livable place where people could live with their families. So they built schools, they built everything. They created Los Alamos for that project. And at the end, they basically, Oppenheimer said, give it back to the Native Americans. And they like, no, we have to keep making bombs. And that wasn't a part of his plan. So they basically kind of took his recipe and kicked him out and then prosecuted him for being a communist. For like no reason at all. It's just weird. But like, I guess once you know too much kind of thing, you know, I don't really understand it. Like the logic behind it. And they don't,
well, the
really
control, they want to control.
Tried it. Yeah. And they don't really go over it in the movie. Well, there's a lot of things, again, without spoiling it, in the movie that are more rooted in like bitterness. So it's not so much like, oh yeah, you have to control him because he's such a genius and that can be dangerous. He's, they want to control him. I'm sorry. They want to, they like, he pissed people off in the process. And then once he was being celebrated as like the best American in the world, or best American and the smartest man in the world and all this shit, people started to get bitter and jealous. And then they would remember times he maybe embarrassed them publicly. And now they're in more powerful positions in government because they too were very successful in the project. Right. And all kind of started to prosecute him in a way that was like, just kind of rooted in, like I said, just jealousy. But it's weird because you're watching this movie and you feel bad that these people are picking on Oppenheimer because you kind of get to like him in the movie. He seems like a nice guy. He's just a genius. And I read a lot of the book. I didn't get to finish it, America and Prometheus, before the movie because I wanted to understand him a little more going into the movie. And he's cool as shit. He's like, he was bad at everything until he understood it, and then he became the very best at that thing. And I mean, like, everything he did. Not so much, he wasn't athletic, he didn't do sports, he didn't even follow it. but or like he didn't follow anything until kind of later when he had to. But you know, when he was a teacher, he was the worst teacher, and then in about a month, he was the best teacher. That he had, like, people were following him like a cult. You know, he just had this incredible way to understand things that are going on. So you're watching him and you root for him, like I said, and then you feel bad that people in the government and his other people in science or whatever are messing with him. They're trying to basically prosecute him for being a communist and take his security clearance and all this other stuff. And you, but then you're like, at the same time, though, like, you, not out of bitterness or anything, but out of, like, curiosity, you created something that can, that, like, changed the entire world for the worse. So you kind of feel bad for the guy that created the worst thing ever.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's a cool movie because you don't know, like, who to, not who to side with, because he, again, he's the, it's all, the movie's in the first person. You know what I mean? It's, like, through his eyes. It's very, you know, it's very biographical, but there's fun little struggles inside of it. Like, I don't know what I would do if I were approached with the project. Some people are just so excited to drop a bomb, you know, they want to just destroy shit. And his, because he's Jewish, or was Jewish rather, most of his reason for building the bomb, morally, where he morally, you know, made a moral justification, was that it was going to be dropped on the Nazis, and they were working on one as well because he met Heisenberg, the scientist that was the German's Oppenheimer.
Right.
They've known each other, and he knew how smart he was, and he was like, well, but he met him when he was young. And he's like, he's a lot smarter than I am, but at that point, he wasn't, you know? He's like, so if he's ahead of this, we're kind of screwed, you know? So his motivation was the Nazis are going to have one soon, and they kind of deserve it. And then when Hitler died, he was like, all right, well, we'll finish making the bomb just to show that we could do it, you know, and finish it, but there's no need to drop it now, you know? And then they're like, oh, no, the Japanese are worse, and they kind of just bullshitted him. And they just seemed, like, excited to drop one, like, and he just felt like he referenced, like, a Hindu scripture. He called himself the destroyer. He became death, the destroyer of worlds.
Right.
Which is, like, true. So it's kind of, sorry, I feel like I went on a rant, but I wanted to fill you in on everything.
That Let's just was hope like this isn't one of those shows where they can only hear me.
Well, no, I guess what I wanted to say was, like, how would you feel about one of two things? Because I think the future is going this way. A lot of Los Alamos people had no idea what their project was. They just had a job to do. And they didn't understand what it was, but they knew that it was top secret. And once they saw Oppenheimer and a few other scientists walking around, they understood it was probably a massive bomb. Like, morally, could you do it, like, willfully blind, just not care? And two, I think what's going to happen in the future is, like, with AI and people that have the jobs that people are worried about that can get taken, you know, like, you know, like the people that don't run their accounting firms that can maybe, or like paralegals and, I don't know, data collectors and stuff like that. Anything that AI can take. I think people are going to be resigned to, like, waking up in their house. They're just going to get paid from Amazon or Google or whoever and just press buttons not knowing what they do. Like, I don't think they're going to, like, have you ever seen Severance?
Yeah, a few episodes.
Me too. But enough to kind of gather what I'm getting at, right? Like,
right.
I don't think they're going to blank your memory, but I think you're going to, like, wake up and just start doing shit. Entering a code, learning how to code. Like, I think, and it's going to be almost like a universal income. You know what I mean?
That's interesting. That's dark.
So I was looking at Los Al. Yeah.
I'm not a universal income. I think it's just a very, you know, it's very black mirror-y of you, Chris.
Well, yeah, well, that's what I think it makes a lot of sense. And so I was watching Los Alamos and I was like, oh, this is kind of Christery, because that's always what I like to do, find the old thing and bring it to the new thing.
Right.
So that's why I gave you that whole long story. It was like the moral conundrum of it and all that, because I could just say the buttons thing. You're like, yeah, who cares? You're probably working on shipping and logistics, but, like, you don't know that. You know, like, these people were coming in with all different walks of life, plumbers, this, that. I never seen it.
Yeah, you read it.
Reddit, sorry.
Read it, Reddit. It's a cool book. It's a cool book. It's very, very weird at the end. Like, the very end is very weird. And I don't want to spoil anything, so I'll stop. But it's an interesting
book. It was a movie, too.
Yeah. I guess so you could watch the movie.
Yeah, I just think that's kind of... No, it doesn't look good. That was my big takeaway from Oppenheimer. It was like everybody... I feel like everyone knew they were doing something wrong, and like, could you justify it if it's, oh, well, it might happen to me, so we got to do it first, kind of kill or be killed, which I understand. But like, I don't know. Like the scientists that walked away from the project, they were being told that this was bigger than electricity. It's going to be the biggest science thing ever. So it's also like, if the peak of your field is mass destruction, do you want to reach the peak of your field? Like, I don't know.
But your mass destruction is someone else's save the world. You know, they're going to beat us to it, and they're going to use it, and someone's going to figure it out. Let it be us, because we're on the right side of history, supposedly.
So I feel like that's where I would probably land, especially back then when you don't have as many opinions. You're just kind of getting the news 1 hour a day.
You didn't even know this could be done. Like, you don't even know that, like, if someone's like, hey, Chris, build a thing that'll split, you know, like, oxygen atoms to help the ozone or whatever. Like, I could try, sure, that'd be great, you know? Never been done before. I don't know what's this going to be used for other than helping the atmosphere.
Well, most scientists knew it was a bomb.
All right, but I mean...
So that's the thing. But their thing was, yeah, it's a bomb, but it's also the apex of science. It's the most sciencey science thing that's ever existed.
Right.
And we want to be a part of it. And like, actually, when Oppenheimer was signing his contract, or they had to sign like a loyalty pledge, I guess. And it said that first and foremost, his loyalty is to the United States. And he actually crossed it out and wrote to science. So he was like, I'm not really doing this for patriotism. I'm doing it because I think it's the best thing for science that this gets made by me and not someone else, because I know what to do with it.
By the way, you got to do the read.
And then, but we didn't kind of... Oh, shit, son. All right.
I didn't mean to interrupt your...
Let me do that.
Your monologue. But, yeah.
Sorry, I went on a rant.
No, it's not a rant. This is a show, man. You're supposed to do on a podcast. Am I ready? Is everyone ready for this? We got another sponsor. Show's doing well. This is like our third sponsor.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Congratulations.
And also, listen, you know I've been busy.
Don't. You gotta can me a segue into this?
Yeah, I just did it. It doesn't even tell me to do it. This is my please personalize part.
Go ahead. I think please just, like, hey, just talk about it. Like, no, how much easier this is.
Well, that's the thing. I've been busy.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of people think that, like, when you open a restaurant that you work, like, that you eat a lot. I don't. Maybe other people do. I'm not saying, like, oh, in the business, that's not how it works. For me, it's not that way. I just work when I'm at work. I don't do anything else. I'll look for shit to do. Maybe I'll try food if there's something new to try. I never eat at work. So, great advertiser moment, you know, shined upon us. Factor. America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit. And then basically what you do is... Sorry, I'm messing this one
up. I'll
tell
you. You heat it up in 2 minutes. It's just basically they send it to you and it's ready to go. So you get home.
Well, that's...
It's fresh.
I was trying to read it. So if I knew I could just say it like that, I would have said it.
That's what...
But that's the thing.
I'm here to help.
I come home from work. I don't have time to cook. I don't have time to cut shit. Nor do I want to. I don't want to do any work. I don't want to do more food work than I've been doing all day. I want to heat things up. So...
My favorite part about this
is factors introduced.
They were giving you free meals and you still haven't like requested them. And it's just like, just send me all the filet mignon, please. Like there's like,
now to be honest, now I know what I want because I'm reading the read, you know, like
the idea,
I would like a Green Goddess chicken or a grilled steakhouse filet mignon, but truthfully,
do you only get steak at weddings?
No. So at a wedding, I guess I do. I go with the safest option. Because I think most weddings just keep cooked food under a heat lamp for like hours. I will say the brownstone, I think that's what makes them special. They do everything a la carte.
Nice.
Like you order off a menu at the wedding there. So like we don't have it ahead of time. But if they ask for your meal ahead of time, that means they're cooking it ahead of time. So I'm like, what do I not mind being dry and kind of shitty? And I usually go with steak there because they usually put a sauce over it because it's dry and shitty.
Gotcha.
So yeah, that's usually my move. I avoid seafood. At weddings,
chicken's just pedestrian,
usually,
you know, like
always.
If you can have a steak or chicken, you go steak, right?
Yeah. I just think the chicken's always going to be that same kind of on the bone, almost good kind of thing. You know, I love making chicken. I cook chicken a lot, but I never order it out. So, but no, We're not here to talk about weddings, okay? We're here to talk about Factor Meals, son. So head to factormeals.com/Chris350. Use code Chris350 to get 50% off. That's Chris350 at factormeals.com/Chris350. I'm doing that, finally. I got yelled at for not putting my order in. In my defense.
You didn't get yelled at. You just got reminded. You have several bump emails.
But here's the thing. Had I read the email and known that free food was coming, I would have done it way sooner. I didn't know that was the read. I just thought there was an ad read, and I was excited about that. And I was like, I'll read it during the show. I don't, like, read them emails. I just thought that's, like, it's like getting mail, you know? It's like, all right, let me just, I know what this is about. Like, they send me my debit card in the mail. I just take the card. I don't read the letter, you know?
Right. And then when you have to, oh, yeah, because sometimes, like, hey, you have to go activate this at, like, you know, chase.com.
Well, there's a sticker on it for that.
I guess you're right, yeah.
But the sticker says all that. Yeah. So, yeah, so I didn't know that free food was coming. So now I'm personally going to go with the Green Goddess chicken, as we discussed, because we're not going to a wedding. This is something, I love eating chicken at home. The filet, how many meals am I getting? I just get one?
I don't know. She didn't say. No, I think you get like a week, maybe 2 weeks. You might get like 6 or 7.
34 weekly restaurant quality options like bruschetta, shrimp risotto, Green Goddess chicken, grilled steakhouse filet. I'm actually reading this to you now. Like, I'm not even doing the read's over. I'm
just, it's good.
Like,
yeah.
Going over what I want to eat. But yeah, they have lunch to go. It's effortless, wholesome meals. I'm actually very excited to do it because I get yelled at by everyone in my life because I just have not been eating. Because I'm just too lazy when I get home. So I am. So, you know, a nice 2-minute boost from Factor Meals. I'm very excited about that. And I will be very, very honest with my review of them because the read's over. So I don't know if they'll do another one. You know, so if it's good, I'll let you know. If it's bad, I'll let you know. I'm sure it's great, though.
There's a calendar. The menu switches. There's a calendar when you go on the website. Like this week's meals.
Yeah, I'm always on the website.
This week's meals are. No, I mean like on the. Oh, yeah, you knew that. I'm sorry. Why am I telling you that?
All right. So do you have anything about my Oppenheimer rant about the future or past? I don't think we have time for both, but do you want to talk about one?
Shout out to Factor. No, man, I think you were on a roll, and I didn't see the movie. Like, I just know what it is from, like, history, you know, from being a history guy.
Yeah, that's what was cool about it. It felt, it's going to win every award.
Yeah.
And I also have a theory on the Barbie thing, like the Barbie-Oppenheimer kind of mix. I don't understand it. Like, I haven't understood the cross-promotion on that this whole time. And I kind of figured it out after I saw the movie. There's a lot to be, like, ashamed of a little bit if you watch Oppenheimer. Not that anyone that's watching it had anything to do with any of it. But, like, it's a lot of the flaws of man kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, arrogance made the bomb get dropped. Curiosity kind of made the bomb get created. And there's a lot of ego in there when it comes to just the way he was persecuted afterward versus, and the, you know, dropping it. And there's a lot to feel icky about. You know what I mean? Because, like, you'll find one of your ugly qualities you'll find in one of the characters or one of the situations. I felt a lot, like, watching it. Like, when I left, I was like, I don't know if I like that or not, like, that movie. And then, like, hours later, I was like, wow, I actually loved it. Because it just makes you feel shit, and I usually don't. So, ever. Not just in movies. So, I think the Barbie-Oppenheimer, like, thing has kind of been, like, you know when you say something really serious to, like, your wife or whatever, and then you, like, throw a joke in there to, like, soften it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you'll be like, oh, hey, like, oh, yeah, you were really nice to that. Like, I don't know how to, I don't do that, Pastor Gus. But you know how you, like, you know how you'll do that? Like, throw an LOL after, like, a, hey, still waiting on that check, LOL. You know what I mean?
I mean, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I don't. I own it.
That's what Barbie feels like. It's like, I'm excited for Oppenheimer, but I don't want you to think I'm a crazy person. Like, because it's dark, you know, when you really consider the theme of it. It's a dark movie. Like, it's a lot of relationship stuff, a lot of awkward moments, and just, like, no time for bullshit because of the stakes, you know what I mean? So, right. Like, there's no time for, like, politicking, but then when it's done, it's a lot of politicking. You know, it's really, I don't know, it was really cool. Everyone should see it. I liked it. I thought it was a cool Chris 3 conversation. I hope this wasn't like a movie review. It's really more about, you know, the moral, like, where I thought of it morally. But it was kind of, I don't know, it's just making me think a lot about stuff, because it's like, you don't realize how you're, like, they, none of them are thinking about how it affected the people the bomb got dropped on. It was all about like science winning wars, America being tough and strong. And then, you know, and then the way he was celebrated after seemed to really bother him, because he's like, they also didn't know how big of a destruction it would be.
Right.
They were like, this could be anything between hurting like 1,000 people or literally destroying the world. Like, let's find out. So, I don't know. Good movie, though.
Yeah. Maybe they had to compartmentalize that, you know, like, don't think about the real people. Like, let's just do it.
Well, they made it about Oppenheimer for sure, but now I'm going to finish.
I mean, like the scientists. It can't be like, how many Japanese people am I going to kill with this? They probably just have to be like, let me just like, I just got to get that out of my mind because I will not be able to cope with this.
And most of the creating of it, they didn't plan on dropping it on the Japanese people, it seemed like. So that was a pivot that they, watching them accept that was the weirdest part of the movie to me. Like, watching them try to justify, all right, well, we did all this. It was kind of like, we did all this work. Like, it's not going to be for nothing.
Right. You know? Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like there was no anger. Like, I don't even think they mentioned Pearl Harbor or anything in the movie. They're just like, well, the Japanese are smart too. They have really good scientists too, so we should still worry about it. And that's kind of how they were like, because you could tell it's just exhausted at that point. And like, we need a payoff. We've been through too much, you know?
Yep.
And that's when they weren't considering at all the magnitude. And it's cool. That's what I mean, where you might see parts of yourself in there that are like, oh, I wonder if I do that, where I'm like, I don't care. I've taken it this far. I don't care if it's unnecessary. I'm doing black, you know, whatever it is. But we'll have to think about.
Yeah. Did you get popcorn?
I feel like we really Christeried. This was a Christery today.
Yeah. Congratulations. You made a Christery.
Like, we didn't make it about like the Blackberry or like, you know, like me being busy, which I think is good.
Yeah. I agree. Great job. 5-star.
Thanks, man.
Subscribe. Rate.
Appreciate.
Tell everybody you love this one.
Hit.
Who knew? We should just go see a movie every week and review it. Yeah.
I mean, historical significance. No, there's no podcast do stuff like that. So that's a good idea.
Have you seen Casablanca?
I love Casablanca.
Yeah.
Can I tell you one of my restaurant ideas is a Casablanca themed restaurant? I can't tell you the name, but I have a really good idea for it.
Okay. Great.
But it's like, I want to do a French Moroccan place where like you like, where people perform and like, it's like white tuxedos. I love that era of like time.
I'm going to text you a bunch of my guesses.
Okay. I'll be surprised if you get it.
Well, I'm assuming it's a pun on Play It Again, Sam, but maybe not.
Nope.
All right.
Nope.
All right.
It's, yep.
No, don't reveal it. What if there's some bad actor listening here who steals
that's
it?
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, what if there's like a wide audience?
Hey, I can listen to Chris Manzo's 12th episode of Christery and steal this Casablanca restaurant.
They have a tremendous handle on French Moroccan cuisine and performance venues.
Yeah.
And they are going to take it, so I can't tell them the item. I at least can't give them the name. Everything else they can come up with.
Got it. All right, great show, man.
All right, this was good.
Wrap it up.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.